soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. So spread your give him a real good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Did we have camp meeting around here last night or did we not? How many of you enjoyed the service last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Tell you what, it gets better every time. The table gets spread every service. And it's a new delight and a new treat every time we come to the house of God. Are you glad to be part of what's going on? Hey, you're not all of it. But the best part about it, you're part of it. Aren't you glad you're part of it? Turn around, shake somebody's hand and tell them this. I'm glad I'm part of it. Play some more of that, guys. Play like you believe it this time. Give me some, Larry. Brother Donnie made a statement. I believe Brother Jason Watkins made the same statement when he was here. This life is not about this life. This life is about the life to come. Aren't you glad you're preparing for a life to come? Not full of heartaches and troubles and debts and aggravations and people rubbing you feathers the wrong way. But it's about eternal life. To be with Jesus Christ, with the saints of God, with our heroes of the faith that we've read about, we've talked about for years and years. It's a reality. Amen. Look at somebody and say, it is a reality. Let's sing that one more time. I want you to sing it like you really believe it with all your heart this morning. It's easy to come into a place. It's easy to get up with the weight of the world and the cares of life wearing on you and weighting you down. But now this is a place to be free this morning. This is going to be the best two and a half hours of your day right now. So let's start it off good. Somebody say, I'm ready. Somebody say, I'm really ready. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. You better help me. So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. Oh, you are born. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you would come, take us to the Lord this morning on behalf of our prayer request. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Carter Lawson wants us to remember his daughter, Jessica, her daughter-in-law, Jessica, for the salvation of her soul. And that the Lord would heal her of her stomach problems. We'll just commit that need unto the Lord this morning. Sister Esther in Australia. Please remember my family in your prayers. We are currently dealing with a difficult spiritual issue and need God to intervene. So we certainly want to commit that to the Lord. Brother Baker is seeking spiritual help from the Lord. Remember him in prayer this morning. Sister Maria Sponsia turned this in. There's a wonderful testimony this morning. Last Sunday, I requested prayer for a friend, Donald Capps, who was facing amputation of both legs. Praise the Lord. His legs were not amputated. Instead, they were able to save them by using stents. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Maria Sponsius also sends in this in for Sister Anna Shipley. She would like to thank all of you for your cards, phone calls, flowers during the loss of her daughter, Betty. This has been such an unexpected death. Sister Anna also requests that we would continue to lift her up in prayer and for healing in her back. So we certainly want to pray for that need today. Sister Clara Davis, Sister Boone sends us in to please pray for Ellen Elliott. She is a very dear friend of our family. She's in the hospital in the intensive care unit, very serious condition. She is my dad's sister and cared for him during his sickness. We thank the church for your prayer. So we just commit that need unto the Lord this morning. Brother Gary, Sister Lona wants us to remember their friend Pete. In prayer, he is in the hospital again with pneumonia and facing a very dangerous procedure in July. So we certainly want to remember that need this morning. Sister Sylvia Barham sends this in to please pray for Sister Daisy Rice. She is sick, not able to eat, very weak in body. So we just commit her to the Lord this morning. I also want to continue to remember Sister Sharon Ward, that the Lord would just be with her and give her strength in her body as she battles this sickness. We know that God is more than able to do that, don't we? I said, we know that God is able to do that, don't we? Amen. Now, this is a card from Brother Pinky and Sister Phillips, feeling just a little more blessed because of your thoughtfulness. I won't take the time to read all that's involved in this, but we will put it on the bulletin board for you. It says, we love you so very much, and we seek your continued prayers. Brother Pinky and Sister Phillips, you know, they lost their home, all their belongings, precious pictures, memories that can never be replaced, but we're just glad to have them here in our local assembly again this morning with us. We love those folks, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, if you'll come this morning, you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand together this morning? Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Amen. It's good to be in church this morning. You know, talking about soldiers, men that women that has made the supreme sacrifice since the Revolution War, over 1,100,000 people have given their life for this country. That's a great sacrifice. That's a whole lot of people. You know, at Thanksgiving, we give thanks for God, to God for what He has given to us, the blessings. But on Memorial Day, we thank God for the veterans, the men and women that made the supreme sacrifice for our freedom that we have. Amen. Let's pray for these requests today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for what you mean to us. God, we thank you for the service that we was in last night. God, we thank you for the eagle scream. We thank you for the cry that we hear. God, we praise you for everything you mean to us. God, we know that, Lord, that you love us so much that you go to a cross and we and die for our sins. God, that you bear those stripes for our healing. God, we know, Lord Jesus, that we can never praise you enough. Heavenly Father, in this service today, we pray that you move among us. God, we bring our requests, our needs, our petitions before your throne. In the name of Jesus, we pray for that you'll move for each one of them. Those over the internet, wherever they may be, God, different countries, we pray for that you'll move for them also. God, we pray for our pastor, Brother Donnie. Lord, that you'll bless them today, Jesus. God, we pray for his family. We pray for our church family. Pray that you'll help them. God, we commit this service in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we give you the praise. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. Certainly glad to have all of you in the service with us today, all of our visitors. We certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks. We want to welcome Brother Jim, Sister Alice Baker from Kentucky, Sister Heidi Davis, family visiting from Canada. They're here. Brother and Sister White, her parents, they're here. Would you folks just raise your hand so we could give you a nice hand this morning? All back in here. Give them a nice hand this morning if you would. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little song this morning. Ushers, if you're here already doing the offering, aren't you? I was getting ready to call you back up. They may have more money to give you. You never know about this group. They may want to put two offerings in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loves you too? Give me one more hand clap of praise this morning. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. For I'm a righteous heir. Yes, I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory. For I'm a righteous heir.
see His face, knowing that I'm His son.
Yes, I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'm moving to my mansion, just over in glory. I'm a rightful heir. I've got a guardian angel watching me. He's with me everywhere. And I need my Father in heaven above. I breathe just a simple prayer. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory. For I'm a rightful heir. He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sin. He took me in. He's building me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moved to my mansion just over in glory. I'm a rightful heir. He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sin.
Yes, He has.
He took me in. Glory. He's building me a mansion beyond compare.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory. For I'm a rightful heir.
We're rich in faith and hope and love.
Faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory. For I'm a rightful heir.
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus just before we have our specials this morning. Brother Isaiah, you and Ever, how you've got your song arranged, if you would come this morning. Also, Brother David Swanson, if you'd come onto the platform, get ready to sing after they sing this morning. Well, let's sing this. Come on, real quickly. Let's sing this little chorus together. The anchor holds. Aren't you glad that the anchor's holding? Unmovable. Not thinking about quitting. Our bridges are burned. Couldn't go back if you wanted to, but I don't even want to. How about you? Got nothing to go back to. Give Him one more hand clap of praise this morning. The anchor holds.
Anchor holds.
Sing it to Him with all your heart.
Though this ship is battered,
oh,
the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Spite of the storm.
Thank you, Father. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Sister Joanne, Tessa and her family, we certainly want to just continue to remember her and let her family in prayer as they go through this season of their life. God's able to be with them and keep them. Let's just hold them in our hearts. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this morning.
I can't say I'm going. The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His domain, oh, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. He came to me. Come to where He was, He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where He was, He came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. Oh, He came to me when I possessed no peace within. He picked me up and He gently drew me to His side, where today in His sweet love I now abide. He came to me. Oh, He came to me when I couldn't come to where He was. He came to me. Oh, that's why He died on Mount Calvary. When I couldn't come to where He was, He came to me.
God is good. You know who He is. Praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate our songs this morning. Amen. The Lord is just, He's mindful of us, isn't He? Praise the Lord. Could we stand as we get ready to go on into the service? Certainly want to pray for Brother Donnie. The Lord just give him strength in his body. I tell you what, he preached last night. I certainly appreciate the word of the Lord. And I know you do. You're going to pull on the gift of God today too. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. Our God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. Even when He says no, He's still good. Amen? Oh, our God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
And serves the whole world over. No greater than You'll find.
Well, now He's not good. Once in a while,
He's good all the time.
Well, I said my God is good. I know.
Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good.
this whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while, but he's good all the time.
Praise the Lord. We can all say amen to that today, can't we? Amen. He's been so good to every one of us. So far beyond what we deserve as far as mortals. I'm so grateful for his faithfulness. I refuse myself to live on the high of holidays and live on the high of occasional miracles and let that dictate to me my joy and my happiness. I'd like to focus rather for myself on the daily things that God has done. I think it's a sin for us as the people of God to live from one holiday to the next, one vacation trip to the next, or one, you know, some kind of miracle that even happens in our life, and not even acknowledge every day the breaths of air that you take into your lungs, the food that you eat, the water that you drink. You live in a disease-ridden, disease-plagued age and generation. And yet many of us are standing here today with good health, not saying that we don't fight things, but yet the blessing of God. Even saints of God, I can tell you just this week, we had to send money this week to some of our brothers and sisters in Uganda. And some of them are starving, absolutely starving. Don't God love them as much as he loves you? So, you know, to me, whenever we think, well, I'm waiting for this. Some people are always waiting for this great day to come, and I'm going to get rich, and I'm going to do this. And they wait and wait and wait, and it never happens. I hope some of y'all ain't waited a long time for the engine to come through down in Kentucky, and you're planning your retirement on it. You'd be better off to have a Briggs & Stratton off of a lawnmower. Get into bicycle repair or something. But that's the way people think. They look, and this is the mindset that we're going to look at today with the older brother of the prodigal son. He had all of these things around him daily, constantly, but at last he didn't. It's like he didn't even acknowledge them at all, like they didn't even exist. But he lives. You know, there's people that live from one weekend to the next. They just want to say, oh, okay, where are we going next? Now we got this trip, and where's this vacation? Where's this, that, and other? And to get them to come to church faithful, to read their Bible, to pray, to have a daily walk with God. I told Carol this morning, I hope Jesus don't come on Saturday night for some of you folks that don't come on Sunday morning. If the rapture takes place on Saturday, you folks are going to be in a mess. I don't care what day is coming. I'm going to be ready no matter what day it is. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be at my post of duty, which is not just church, but I'm going to be at my post of duty being faithful to the cause. Don't you? And I want to acknowledge and see what he does for me. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. We'd like to greet Brother Jason Watkins and Sister Debbie this morning and many of his church streaming the service today. They're being pounded today and probably more so even tomorrow with a tropical storm. So they had to cancel services today. So Jason had texted me there this morning. So we want to send them greetings today. We also want to pray for them that the Lord will just be with them and watch over them and protect them during this time and let this thing pass over. Those of you folks that's moved from the mountains of Tennessee down there, it's one of the bad things about living next to the beach. So y'all probably should come back up to God's country. Sorry, buddy, I had to say that. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. Speaking of the older brother, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, in truth, he's speaking a lie. When the inheritance was divided and given to the younger son, His portion was right there available. But it's like he's waiting for some special occasion. What holiday is it? What birthday is it that he's waiting for? It's all right there. But to talk to him, you'd think this boy was a pauper. He had absolutely nothing. So he had all of this, but he didn't have the attitude of possession. You see, to have things is one thing, but to have an attitude of possession and dispersion is totally, totally different. Now watch him. He says, "Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this our son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Again, he assumes on this he does not know what he's done with the money. He does not know that he's lived this way. But look at his attitude. This is the thing. He's so judgmental and so harsh. And he's saying things for facts that he don't even know is facts or not facts. And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me." I love the way the father addresses this. "Son, thou art ever with me." Listen to me carefully. Don't misunderstand me. God loves my soul, but God knows my soul needs a body. And it's going to be the last in the stage of the change, but it's coming. "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity that we could come together in the house of God once again. Thank you for your children, Lord, those present, those that are streaming today. We ask that you'd be with each one, Lord, that you'd minister to us according to your great riches and glory. Father, only you can be able to custom fit a sermon today that would be able to meet the need of every hungry heart. So I'm just asking that you would help me. You see, Lord, the way that I've studied and I've laid these scriptures and quotes and things out. But Lord, if there's one that's out of place, if I should have put one in front of the other or skipped out on one or whatever more, I pray the Spirit of God will make me so sensitive. Lord, help me that I can be sensitive to the pull of the people. That, Lord, if something needs to be said that's not even in the line of thought, that I would be sensitive, not knowing that that one thing might change a person's life today, might keep a person from turning back. We just don't know, but we ask that you would help us. Lord, I have this prayer cross in my hand that I'm going to preach with today. Father, we ask for your mercy to our sister Joanne Tessa, Lord, her husband passing away, and she's taking it really, really hard. And we're asking for your strength and your grace that you would be with our sister, Father. We pray the presence of God would just comfort her during this time, Lord. Take the service today. Anoint us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We're speaking to you about the sovereignty of God. To me, the more I look at the great attributes of God. I love God's love. I love His mercy. I love His ability to forgive. I love the attribute of redemption. I love the attribute of reconciliation. I love the attribute of mystery. I love the attribute of simplicity. I love so many of my Father's attributes. To me, one of my favorite is the attribute of sovereignty. And how that God chose through sovereignty to display the dealings with man. It was through sovereignty that God actually made man in the beginning. When he consented and designed and desired to let us make man, let us have a being. And it was before, of course, the foundation of the world that God had purposed this within himself. Every one of us here today who are born of God by the breath of God, we have that something in us which never started. It was never actually saved on a certain day. It always was in his mind before the world began. To me, I love that about it. And in order to make that to where that it would be lasting and could never be lost, it must be upon the basis of sovereignty. If God would have placed it upon man, just look at our ability of free moral agencies. We looked at it last night. Think of how we struggle just on submission. Think of a lifetime that it will take most of us to learn how to submit our ways, our thoughts, our opinions, our emotions, our feelings to God. And much of that is based upon free moral agency. Now, if God would have based your soul, your destiny upon the same thing, think where you'd ever amount to spiritually. If in our natural walk with God, with just submission and learning how to obey God, and it takes many of us years and years of our life to do that, where would we ever be if our destiny was based upon the same thing? So what did he base it upon? Not upon your submission, not even upon your obedience, but he based it upon his own sovereignty, and then he allocated that to be in Christ before the world was ever formed. And this is where that Brother Branham goes back, of course, and brings it then that we were the attributes of God in his thinking, that we were the seed, that he says it this way, that God placed the seed in us actually before the foundation of the world. 1956, God spoke your word, your life into existence before there was ever a foundation of the world. Why? Based upon sovereignty, knowing once man would fall, that man would be so slothful. Man would be so slothful. And you look at humanity. Look at a great man by the name of Moses that had such a vision and a burden for God. But yet this man was so slothful, not so much the people of Israel, but slothful in his own home. And this man was so slothful that God sought to kill him one day. And God came to the inn and would have killed him if he had found him. But his wife stepped in and circumcised the son. Why? Because this prophet of God was so busy about the world. Work of God and the Exodus people that he hadn't circumcised his own son. I guarantee you, if we'd everyone sat down today and be honest, we would find slothfulness in every human being sitting in this assembly today. And more than likely everybody else that's streaming as well. Now some of you might not be slothful in this avenue. My, you're so fervent when it would come to that avenue and that avenue of your life. But more than likely if you'd be dissected and put under the mirror of the word, we would find that every one of us deal with an element of slothfulness, that we just don't do every aspect. Come on now, you know it's the truth of what we should do. So what if God then based your whole destiny upon that? If God based your whole destiny of waiting till you would get it all together and you would get all your submission together and all of your surrendering and all of your obedience and all of that together, and then once you got it together, God would save you. I'll tell you one thing, we'd be a miserable mess, wouldn't we? So God based it upon his own sovereignty, which is his own choice. Now, looking at this parable as we've looked at it for several weeks, and as I mentioned last night, that if the antitype of the prodigal son is still alive in here, which we believe he is, and if the type of the father is still there, which is of course Father God, and if we see the people, that type, and we see the merrymaking and that type, all of those types are still alive, then there must be an answering to the type of the older brother, or the parable is not complete within itself. Now we know that many of the theologians of course place the older brother as the Pharisees alone. Now if that is so, then that breaks the type and we can no longer use this parable in modern day terms, because one great important part of it has died many years ago, so we can no longer use this parable. But to me, if we're going to use the parable, we must be able to find every one of the elements of the parable, then they all draw together and it makes the parable the ability to reoccur as it has for 2,000 years. Now when we look at this older brother and see the personification of this older brother comes into clear view after the birth or reconciliation of the younger brother. It brings us into view the order of why the Lord Jesus did not introduce the older brother first and say, well, he was this type of a guy and this type of a guy and this type of a guy. But Jesus does not go into description of either him or the prodigal, but he waits till after the prodigal returns, and then he gives to us the makeup of this older brother. Now, he doesn't say so much about the makeup of the younger one after he's come and been reconciled, but he just simply mentions about the character or the details of the character of the older brother. Now, we see him then that he's a workaholic. He's worked for God. He does all kinds of things for God, but he has no understanding about sonship. It's all about, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. And he looks at blessings as being
making trade-offs, and he considers it, and that if you do this and this and this, then God will give you something back. So actually you're working for it, and God will buy it back for you or pay you a sum, and that's the way you do it. Total attitude of a servant or a slave mentality. You see, he has all of these things. Now remember, he was the firstborn, so whenever the inheritance would have been divided, the firstborn would got two portions. So if there would have been seven kids, it would have been divided by eight, because the firstborn would get two portions. If there would have been three, it would have been divided by four. But since there was two, it was divided by three. So it was divided up into three, and the elder son would have got two-thirds of the inheritance. So he had cattle, he had she-asses, he had camels, he had all kinds of things, and yet they were his by right of inheritance, but he did not have the spirit of possession to be able to take them freely. Now he's waiting for some holiday, for some special holy day. Maybe it was Easter, maybe it was Christmas, maybe it was St. Patrick's Day. When he was going to pick a holiday, maybe his daddy would pick out a certain day. Now instead of him being able to recognize what his father was doing for him daily, on a daily basis, he's waiting for some special occasion to arise. I'll tell you, friends, those who go in the rapture in the last day, they're going to answer to the type of Enoch. Enoch was not a special occasion guy, but Enoch walked with God every day of his life. Special occasion people around this message are going to be left when the rapture takes place, because they are not showing their faithfulness to God on day by day by day activities. They don't read their Bible. They don't keep a prayer life up with God, because they are special occasion people. That's not rapture material. Rapture material is Enoch material, which walks with God day by day, and it is a progression that you're walking with God. But the day of the rapture for Enoch, it wasn't like it was a much greater day. It wasn't like it went from the Thursday to the weekend. It wasn't like that it went from that to vacation time. It was just another day of the week. Except this day, he was able to end the transit step just a little bit farther than he was the day before, and he crossed over the line, the point of no return. He couldn't go back. It wasn't like that he was struggling and straining. Oh, Enoch, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm trying to get ready. I'm doing more today. I'm doing this. No, it was a day by day walk. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took. If you look at the Hebrew word there, one of the meanings of the word is marriage. So God took him to be married to him. Praise the Lord. Which is what the Lord is going to do, of course, for the bride in taking her. Now, well, let us get into this again this morning by the help of the Lord. As we look at the prodigal and we're able to recognize in him that he had already experienced something while he was down at the pig pen on his way back. So when he comes back to his father, he's rehearsed the speech of what he's going to tell him. Father, I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I'm not that. And the father stops him right in the middle of it and, of course, begins to call for the servants or ministry. Ministers, diakonia is the word that's used as far as for ministry. It is one that serves. So the father calls for the ministers, servants, and they put shoes on his feet. The ministers are the one who robes him. The ministers are the ones who gets him ready. And now they're having the feast. And we know this father's a type of man. He would have not scheduled this feast without first letting the older brother know about it. So it is not like the older brother is totally ignorant of what is going on. But he plays this part as if though he doesn't know exactly what's there. Now, I just want to tell you one thing about our old stinking flesh. It stinks. Amen. Our flesh is rotten. Now, you might as well just say amen. You can be as full of the Holy Ghost as your big toe. You've got it from your big toe to the top of your head. Your soul can be saturated with the Holy Ghost, but this flesh of yours is an animal. And it can't be trusted. Come on, church. You know it's the truth. And there's something about it that we can be very deceitful. The Bible says the heart is very deceitful. Who can know it? Well, praise the Lord. So this brother, he puts on this air about him. Well, what's going on? What's happening? Of course, the servant tells him. And the servant was well trained, so the servant was able to explain to him what was going on. Now he comes back, and now he's angry. He's all upset. Now, what's the display of the father? How that the father is not going to sever the older son from further inheritance. Now, remember that we were made up. In the beginning, man was placed in the image of God. There was something there in him. Exactly what Adam had, I can't rightly say by the word for myself. Maybe you can. But for me, I can't say exactly what Adam had. But I do know whatever it was he had in the Garden of Eden, he could lose. And whatever he had, he could fall from. And I do know what we got, we can't lose nor fall from it. So whatever it is we've already got, that part of us is already farther up than Adam was. Oh, glory! We cannot lose our seal. Praise the Lord. Yet whatever Adam had, Brother Man said in Oneness with God, 1962, that the holy image of God left him. Now what that was, as a side, I don't know for sure. But there was something that left Adam. So we see the Bible says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. So here we see the creation of God as it unfolds in this man. He was already a spirit being before he was a dust being, because God let him take on the material of the kingdom of his dominion or his domain. So he's going to rule over mammals. He's going to rule over the earth. So God gives him a body that bears an image or a likeness, not after the supernatural God, but an image of the kingdom that he's going to rule over. Don't you see why our Lord Jesus came to the earth to get his own human body? Where's the future home going to come down to? It's going to come down on this earth. Where's his body? The Lord Jesus' body, and a heavenly body, would not be fitting, oh my, for a king that's going to rule and reign over the earth and the eternity. So what did he do? He come down and got his own body. He did not have a permanent flesh body until 2,000 years ago. He would pick up dust and use it, step out of it, it'd fall back down to the ground, it'd blow into another and step out for different occasions. But now he has a permanent body, his own body. Glory. He said, y'all use this part of the earth, and from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest. He come out of this same earth that you do. Oh my. Then God, of course, in his great plan, knowing that all of this would happen, God had to make a way to bring the man back, as we would say. So the prodigal is back home. But at his return, it has caused quite a dilemma in the home, because you know, you've got this mixed things going on where the rebel makers are so happy and so excited, and the father is overflowed with joy, and the son, no doubt, is so happy to be restored. But here's the older brother, and he's got a problem. Now remember, he was the only one while the younger brother was gone. There wasn't no other boys. He was getting all the attention. How our flesh loves attention. Praise the Lord. Well, just be honest. If you look at yourself, you realize much of your greatest spiritual conflict came whenever your younger brother became born again. Because until that time, the soul, the nature, and the soul being the nature of your spirit, that nature that was in you and your flesh so harmonized together that what your soul wanted, your body wanted. What your body wanted, your soul wanted. So the older brother was in such harmony with the fallen nature, he was the only kid on the block. He was the only one there, so he, whatever he wanted, the soul wanted, he wanted. There was such harmony until you got saved. And then when you got saved, you little whippersnapper, you, and that seed gene got born by the breath of God, it started a war in you and still going on to this day. You ever have your younger brother to look in on your feasts and get mad? So here he's angry. He's mad. Upset. But the father comes out and says, now wait a minute. You're going too. You're my son. You're going to be changed. Now remember, Jesus does not bring an end to this parable. You're going to. The end of this story will be determined by you. Watch this in the rising of the sun. You are that seed that the resurrection of the sun has dawned, and the wave sheaf upon the earth to make you recognize that you are an eagle and not a denominational chicken. Do you see it? He says, if the spirit that raised him from the dead, the word, the dynamic of the word dwells in you, it quickens your mortal body. Now, how we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Listen how you are. Because quickly while we were yet mortal sinners, mortal, ready to die, these bodies, it quickens that body. What's quickened? Brings to life. The spirit that once liked to drink and run around and commit adultery and all this, it's quickened. Why? The thing died and you are resurrected. It quickens your mortal body. But notice, it's not just resurrecting the soul. It is actually quickening the mortal body to obedience. Now, I was a Pentecostal, as you know, and I've quoted this thing more times than I can recall, how that I quoted this and I heard it all of my life when I was in Pentecost. It'll quicken your mortal body. But you can imagine how as Pentecostals that we applied this scripture, it was foreshadowing. So if the spirit that raised him from the dead moves on you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Boy, you better get out of the way, because that means they're fixing to take off. So we'd run, we'd shout, we'd jump, we'd dance, we'd do all of that, and that's the way that we apply it. It would quicken your mortal body. Oh my, how wrong I was. But now I realize it not just makes you shout. I still believe it does the same thing. But what good is it to do to make you shout if it don't make you live right? To me, the quickening of this hour is not just to shout and to run and to dance, and we believe in all of that. But what good is that if my life does not testify to the word? And many of those people that I used to preach to and run up and down the aisles with, but yet they couldn't overcome, they couldn't live right, they could not be able to do what the word said. Why? Because that misapplied word had never been released to them to be able to quicken this body to obedience. And you're waiting for some miracle. You're looking for God to do some great something in your life. And absolutely every day you live on this earth, he quickens your body to obedience. He tells you, brothers, to turn your head. And what do? Your body is quickened and you turn. Oh my. Notice this. He said, therefore, your bodies is the temple of the dynamics. Because why? From the beginning, you are part of the mechanics. This is your, oh dear Lord, this is your resurrection. There is the church and the resurrection with him. These bodies right now are quickened. You've already started heavenward. When the little eagle down in the barnyard, as we stopped last night and then finished that story, when that little eagle looks up into the sky and sees a great image of a bird like he wants to be, and he sees that mother, she's flying over and moving her wings and sets sail, and she's coming through. And you imagine as that image begins to permeate on the vision of this little eagle, his body begins to quicken. Now that chicken could never quicken that eagle that way. All he could do, a chicken, just get up off the ground and fly a little bit and crow rough like a rooster and be able to cluck like a hen. But when he saw something in the heavens like he wanted to be, it brought a quickening. Then what did he do? She said, honey, jump, jump, I'll catch you. And the prophet said, whenever he jumped that he got at, maybe landed on the fence post, maybe he gets up there and kind of bouncing around a little bit. He hasn't quite got his symmetrics like and the aerodynamics and all that sort of thing yet. But praise God, he left the coop anyhow. He's sitting up there, maybe heard his first tape, read his first book, heard about God had done something in the last days. What did it do? Quickened his mortal body. It wasn't enough to walk around and stay in that same old chicken coop and say, well, I'm in the message, but I ain't going to tell nobody. It quickened his mortal body. It might not have got him but that high first, but at least it got him that high. Oh, glory. Notice Notice this in Romans chapter 6 verse 12. I love the way Paul deals with this in these next three verses. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Look at this Greek word, basileu. To be king, to exercise kingly power. To reign, to exercise the highest influence. Notice, the highest influence. You see, when you're born again, you've got now an influence on the soul. But you still got the older brother, which has a separate identity from the seed gene. But what God wants is that Holy Ghost to be the highest influence. It won't be the only one, but it will be the highest. Now, Paul tells the people here to let not sin reign or be the highest influence. Will it be an influence in your body? Any of y'all here still get mad? Dear God, the change is on, and I didn't know it. Let me touch some of y'all that didn't raise your hands. See if it'll rub off on me.
Come on.
Maybe y'all didn't understand what I said. Any of y'all here still get mad? Still say things to your kids or your wife or your children or something like that you shouldn't say. Get a temper or whatever more. Up again, please. Oh, my. Well, now, does that influence you? Does it bother you? Does it affect you? Certainly it does. Are you affected if people don't treat you right or don't speak to you nice or something like that? Does that affect us? Well, who's it affecting? The older brother or the youngest? It seemed like everybody wears their feelings right up here anymore. And if they were only this size, it wouldn't be so bad. But my Lord, it's the size of that organ. And you barely get next to him and it just tips it over. And everybody's on the verge. My, we got road rage. We got church rage. We got pew rage. We got Facebook rage. It's a raging world. Come on, children, you might as well say amen now. We've come to have church today, have we not? I think that we are living in that type of world. Are we free from that world? We are not, because here we are, and there's three realms above us and three below us. And you're right in the middle of this called the stream of time. And all of us are still affected, but not under control. I refuse to let my body control my soul. I refuse to let you control me. Say what you want to. Do what you want to. I'm not going to let you control me. You shouldn't let me control you. You shouldn't let your husband control you. I'm talking about the real you. But we will let people control us. They'll say things. We'll go all to pieces. They'll say things about us. All just tears us all to pieces. We know what they're doing. They're controlling you. And you are allowing them to. Well, that might have been for somebody down at Jason's church. Probably was. It wasn't for none of you all. Now watch in verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members. Notice how he separates ye from yours. Ye ain't you. And you ain't ye. And yours ain't ye. When y'all ever going to learn that simple thing? Ye ain't yours. But yours is going to obey ye. Anybody hear ye me? Neither yield ye your members. They're mine. These are my hands. These are my eyes. These are my ears. Glory. That I do not have to live. Well, I can't hardly get no victory. I can't keep no victory. Why? Why? Because you are under an illusion of some sort that you think you have to live a defeated life. Where does the word say that? I still believe a man or a woman can live so close to God, the devil don't know what to do with them. Some of you folks live in an uproar constantly. You ain't got no peace. You ain't got no joy. And you want your children to have that. Why in the world would they want an old sire puss religion? Live a life full of joy. Live a life full of the... Brother Donnie, don't you have no trials? And you get a few years, so sit down and talk to me. I'll tell you about some trials. But I refuse to let my trials take away my joy. My Jesus purchased for my peace. He purchased that I could have a right to be able to stand here today and say, it is still joy unspeakable and full of glory. My Father's joy ain't running out. My Father's peace ain't running out. My Father's happiness ain't running out. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members, separating you now, your members as instruments of unrighteousness, of righteousness rather, unto God. For sin shall not have dominion. Isn't it amazing? He says in verse 12, let not sin reign. And then in verse 14, he says, sin shall not have dominion. This word is a different one than the other one. Kyrio, exercise lordship over. Be lord of. To exercise influence upon. To have power over. Anybody believe this can happen? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Oh my. Notice this, when you get the dynamics in the rising of the sun, you have been quickened from mortality to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the word. It'll make you act different. Now I want you to notice these powerful verbs that the prophet is using. Last night, whenever we read some of those quotes, he said it will throw the whole body subject to the word. What you notice is the one he's using on this one this morning, it makes. Now these are verbs of action. It throws. It makes. Why? Because the older brother still ain't converted yet. Well, praise the Lord. But it makes this body, hallelujah, the whole body come subject to the word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. Why is it, friend? It is the queen of power. You mean still the old member of the dawn that's not even saved? Yes. Not only your soul, but your older brother. Put your arm around him and say, come on, pal, we're going. I'm leading you to a body change. Notice again, now look, he said, be quickened you who were once dead in sin and trespasses and darkness. He is quickened by what? His spirit that raised up Jesus on Easter morning from the dead. And if it dwells in your mortal bodies, now watch, it also quickens, brings to life, make it subject to the word. Now you can claim you have that spirit and throw yourself away from the word. You're quickened by something else. Oh my. For it will quicken your mortal bodies to the word. Well, I got the Holy Ghost, but I can't live right. Say that again. I got the Holy Ghost, but I can't live right. Say that again. I got the Holy Ghost, but I can't live right. That is absolute and total impossibility. If you've got the Holy Ghost, that's the only way you can live, is live right. Now, what's this older brother going to do? He's going to come under the auspices of the headship of the Father of the home. The father of the home comes out and says, listen, flesh, I come to this earth to become like you. All that I was and all that I have is yours in the future. For I had my prophet to preach the sermon called the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. You imagine him knowing how you love this earth. Instead of taking you to heaven and leaving you there, he decided to bring home down here. Some girls is having a hard time leaving mama. Glory! So what did he do? Well, you say, why don't he wipe out this earth and make a new one? He can't! The earth's name is in the book of redemption. Find Mars in here. Find Pluto. Find Saturn. Find many of the other planets' names in this book. You'll not find it, because this is the book of redemption of the earth. And God, amen, the earth's name is written in the book of redemption. And the earth is one of God's attributes, and it will be redeemed. Why? From this earth he took his own body and he took his wife's body. Hallelujah to God. He took your body and his body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh my. He said it makes it subject to the word. It'll quicken your mortal body. Now you can't run without it. You'll just sputter. If you don't believe all that, you'll have part gasoline and part water. You ain't going to go nowhere. You've got to take it 100% gasoline. If you don't, you got backfire. You ain't got no power. I'm a Christian. Y'all ever get water in your carburetor? We don't have carburetors anymore. I'm giving my age in it. Water in your gas tank. And it'll run, it'll hit, and it'll fire, and my, it'll sparkle. And that's what a lot of folks say. I don't believe the message no more. Well, get on out of our way, because we're fixing to pass through. Driven in different parts all over the world. I believe Milligan Highway is the worst in the world for every old person, every middle-aged person, and every young person that wants to drive 3 miles an hour. I get behind them all the time and I tell Carol they decide to go out for a walk and take their truck along. Oh my, that's the way it is spiritually till you get all these people over on the side and you get this preacher, hey, you got to come over here and fill up an air gas station. If you don't get air gas, you ain't going to the rapture. If you don't get air revelation, boy, now we got this special blend out here in Arizona. Man, I'm telling you what, we got this special blend out here in Trinidad, and if you don't get air blend, you ain't going. And we got this special blend up here in New York City, and I'm telling you what, I've got a special blend too. It ain't from Trinidad, it ain't from New York, it ain't from Georgia, it's from eternity. It's for, hallelujah, it is from the quickener himself. But a lot of him. I know just enough about mechanics to cause a mess. When I was about 15 or 16 years old, a friend of mine bought an old 62 Thunderbird. He liked the sound of a cam. I know maybe a lot of you sisters don't know what a cam is, but in a car, you get a 3/4 cam or a full cam, and it's the way the lifters and the valves operate, and it makes them lifters come up with a full stroke, and sort of like a race car. And I tell him, I said, you know what? I've heard that you can adjust that carburetor where it chokes it out a little bit, and it'll make it sound like a cam. He said, oh, let's do it. So I raised the hood and went under the hood with a screwdriver. Bad idea. That's about all it do too. Going down the road, he dropped me off to see Carol. Man, Carol wasn't even married, you know, young boy. He said, you've ruined my car. That's what a lot of preachers have done this message too. They've took their old screwdrivers and their pliers and their adjustable wrench. You know what? I've got to fix this thing. I've got to do this now. You need to keep your hands out from under the hood. We need to preach what's already been said, brother. It will produce a rapture in the last days if we'll preach it like he said it. But this preacher's got to tinker with it a little bit. Nothing's got to tinker with it a little bit. My. Finally had to take it to a garage and had to fix my mistake. So I've got messages for, well, I can't live right. I just can't do it. But I believe in the cross. I believe in the cross. The cross alone will not get your body changed. The beloved Apostle John stood right there at the cross. Find how many times he mentions it. Find how many times he mentions it. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John or the book of Revelation. A personal eyewitness of the cross. But he knew the cross led to something else. So do we. We preach the cross, but we don't stop at the cross. The cross leads us to an overcoming life. Oh my. Notice this. He said, I believe this and I don't believe that. Then pump, 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 pump. You ought to hear Brother Bam say this with his mouth. Must be Kentuckian or something to act this way. Pump, 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 pump. He said, you ain't going nowhere. Would any of y'all want to take out of Tri-Cities Airport in one of them little neat little jets with half jet fuel and half water? And you go to the end of the airport as you're fixing to pass over the lake out there, and the pilot says, folks, sir, we've got a major problem here. We tried to save a little money, and we ain't going, I'm afraid we're going to crash right into the lake. If I've got to pay extra, use good stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hey, if you need 50 more bucks from me, I'll pay it. I'll buy the fuel. Don't cut no corners on me. I lay hands on every one of them things I get into anyhow. Man made them, man works on them, man flies them. Lord, I'm committing myself to you. Oh, hallelujah. It's the same way spiritually. Don't give me no watered down gospel that just, I believe the message, pumpity pump, pump, pump. And God sent a prophet, pumpity pump, pump, pump. But we're all waiting for Brother Ram to come back, and then we'll all get the Holy Ghost. I got mine right now. Amen. It don't just give me something to jump by when I'm in church. It gives me power to cast out devils. It gives me power to live an overcoming life. It has made my body subject to the Word. This body's going in the rapture. It's already subject. The resurrection is on. Notice the prophet says, not only was the resurrection for himself, but for whosoever will. To this predestinated seed that's laying there, quickens the mortal body. They laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They prayed in the spirit, they saw vision, they called the dead back to life. That's right, quicken their mortal body. And if it comes in you, if so be, now you can say it so, but if it is so, these signs shall follow that. It quickens your mortal body. Brother Darn, you believe in signs with all of my heart.
Yes, sir.
But I believe signs ought to be in the right place. And that ain't in front of me.
Amen.
That's behind me. I ain't following signs. They're following me.
Amen.
Come on, signs. Come on, let's go. Praise the Lord. A lot of folks follow a sign preacher and a gift preacher. That's exact backwards to the scripture.
Amen.
Now watch this, older brother. The Spirit of God, he said, I'll give unto him eternal life. Come from the Greek word, if you look it up, Zoe, which moves it through you and then quickens even their mind. Again, he said, Romans 8:11, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if it be in you, it repeats himself, quickens your mortal body, quickened it. What does the word quick mean? The Greek word means brought to life after death. Hallelujah. There's the gate of worship.
Amen. Think about it. Yes, sir.
This is God's provided place in the mystical body. Watch this, paragraph 149. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, quicken your mortal body and make the mortal bodies alive, because it's already life. And when it comes into your body, it brings your whole body subject to it. Some of you that's got Roman eyes can keep your eyes off the women.
Come on now.
Some of you women can't keep your eyes off the men.
On.
They need to be about subject.
On.
Can keep your ears away from gossip. Can't keep your fingers off of writing trash on Facebook.
On.
You need to submit them fingers to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Submit them eyes. Submit them ears. Come on now. Submit your emotion, your temper, your temperament, everything you are, and watch this whole body come subject to the Word. Well, Brother Donnie, will I be free from mistake? Absolutely not, you're not going to be. But if you do make a mistake, you'll subject your body to repentance and make it right. And you won't do it because you're caught. You'll do it because you're sorry. Can I go a bit farther? Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature, which is the same word in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, there is neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature. So the expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Expectation means it is not in a state of full possession. It's longing for, it's waiting for the hour to arrive. Now it has received a down payment or an earnest. We have the spirit of adoption, but not yet full adoption. We have the spirit of heaven, but yet we've never walked down the streets of gold. So we have the spirit of adoption, and this is what we're longing for. Oh God, help us. We wait in hope. We wait in faith. For what? The soul to get another Holy Ghost? To get born again? For the older brother to get his full inheritance. All I have is yours. God is longing for the day when sons of God, plural, the elements can be committed to their charge. Glory to God. The spirit of adoption is already here. But that manifestation has not yet arrived. Now notice the older brother. He must come under the auspices of the father's headship and made to get along with the younger brother. Try to comprehend this overwhelming love that the father has for C. Gene. But remember, older brother ain't converted yet. Now I wonder if he sneered at younger brother on occasion. Jesus leaves all of this family life after the returning of the son in total oblivion. He doesn't tell us anything about it. Of course, it would take millions of books since this is going to be lived out on every Christian to say the end result. How did your seed feel when you become reconciled to God? And how did it make you feel? Did it set up anger in the flesh until the flesh becomes subject? Now, what the father is doing is subduing the older brother by position and authority. Submit to me, son. Now, you see, they had strict laws in the Old Testament. If you had a rebellious son, he wouldn't mind you. You'd take him outside the city gates and you'd kill him. Right? Now, I'm not purporting to do that, of course, in this day. But this helped instill in them quite a respect. So if a father said, your brother is forgiven.
That's it.
That's the law of the home. He's a new creation. That's not to be argued.
Amen.
Did that mean he liked it? No. But he will comply.
Amen.
What is it? He's made subject to the power of the seed gene having a resurrection. He might still look at him funny. I don't want to get up early and go to church. I don't want to do that. But the seed gene said, shut up, we're going to church today. Shut up, I'm going to read my Bible. We're going to listen to a tape today. But you've listened to that tape already and you don't get nothing. Shut up, I need you ears. I can't listen while you're talking at the same time. So hush, obey me. We are under the auspices of the Father. I'm doing you a great favor, body. I'm going to lead you to a change. If I follow you, you'll lead me to hell. I'm not going to follow you, but you're going to follow me. Don't you understand? In the millennium, the older brother in the millennium, the earth, still has the mark and the visage of man. And there'll still be rebellion. The older brother is still there in the millennium. And if the heathen don't come up to worship, then the sons of God said, you don't get no rain. on your crops. Don't you see why? The earth itself in the millennium under the seventh day is still under this flesh, this carnality of those who aren't converted. The bride and Christ will be here in glorified bodies. And there will be people at the end of that reign that will make up their mind they don't want to live for him. Can you imagine? Here you are in glorified bodies and him in a glorified body, and they'll make up their mind, I don't want to serve him, and they'll join the devil. But while the younger son is here, the earth will be forced to obey. And the heathen, well, you know what's going to happen to them if they don't come up to the Feast of Tabernacles to worship? That's like going to church. If they don't come up to the Feast of Tabernacles and I hear about it, and that happens to be over part of where I'm over, I'm going to be forced. I'm going to have to stand out there and say, rain. I command you to stop. I command you not to fall upon their crops. They become faithful and missing church. So until they learn the value of it, I command the rain to hold. And there will not be one drop of rain that will fall on their property. Look, friends, we're not playing. Which I'll be glad when preachers is all over it. You might as well get next to it. Preachers is going to be with you through eternity. People that don't like authority, you don't want to go to heaven or hell, because there's going to be both in both places. But there ain't no other place for you to go, so you got to make up your choice where you want to go to. The older brother will still be there in that sense in the millennium. Why? Until the earth gets her own personal body change. The millennium is introduced by what? Atomic fire. Atomic fire, not holy fire. Holy fire would break the type to precede seven. Holy fire must precede eight. So the atomic fire will come, and no doubt the elements of the earth will be changed, but yet there shall be seed, there shall be things that will not be in the new day. And there will be people. Psalms 2 says, I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. The prophet said, those that have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel will be raised. Because God ain't going to raise folks to get a second chance. Those that never heard, they will be raised, and they will make their choice under the dominion of the younger brother. The younger brother will be ruling from Jerusalem. The law will go out from Jerusalem, and the millennium temple will be built according to Ezekiel. Hallelujah. And there will be people coming out from that kingdom at the end of that kingdom that will say, I've hated this for 1,000 years. I ain't like this word. I don't, them sons of God, I don't like it. I missed a few services. I missed a few feasts of the tabernacle there. And you know what Daryl done? Daryl stopped the rain on my crops. I'm sick of this stuff. And the devil's loosed out of his prison. Say, hey, any of you folks want to join me? I got to believe the sign deal over here. Come on over and join me. Praise the Lord. And they'll leave under the kingdom of the glorified Son of God. And then God will let the earth have her own experience. She will start to convulse. Not from volcanic breaching and the mountains erupting. Not from Putin pushing another bomb. He'll be nowhere in the picture. But holy fire from God will fall upon the earth as it fell upon you. When the judgment of God finally got a hold to you, and the judgment of God fell upon that nature and annihilated it. And the parakimia will come to pass in the earth under the influence of its baptism of the Holy Ghost. My, you think I shout? You wait till the Holy Ghost falls on the earth. This old earth is going to shout and jerk and quiver. This beautiful blue planet will become covered with fire from God out of heaven. And the older brother will lose all hold. The Word is becoming flesh. Flesh is becoming the Word. But what we're waiting for is the Word to become Word. Amen. Notice Paul says that we're waiting. Oh my. Brother Ram says it this way. The whole world is waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. When men will again take the domain on the earth. All the trees and everything else will live. All animal life, everything else, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh brother. Again he says man was made to be a god. His domain in the earth. The whole earth's waiting. You didn't hear it this morning, but maybe you stepped out on your front porch or on your back and you look and you saw the beautiful trees, how pretty they are, and your grass and your flowers. You didn't hear it. But if you had the ear, you'd be able to hear him. Oh, oh, I won't be this way, but just a few more months. I'm full. I'm beautiful. They look at me and they admire me. But I know it's coming in a few months. Something will start changing in me. And the leaves will turn yellow and gold and red and brown. And before long, I'll be standing here bare again. Oh, sons of God, come to your place. If you could have heard the cattle this morning and the sheep and the goats, and it would have been able to go to the Serengeti in Tanzania and in East Africa and Kenya, and would have seen a lion as it made a kill today, maybe on a Cape Buffalo or a wildebeest. If we could have heard the rest of the herd and we could have listened carefully and heard them moaning and groaning. And moaning and groaning. Maybe it's a little baby calf that was just born. Maybe it's a little one that was crippled. If we could have heard that mother, and she would have been crying, oh, sons of God, when will you stop this? Sons of God. But remember, all that he has, the elder brother is going to walk into. Isn't it amazing? My soul has already been restored. How many believes that? How many believes you got the Holy Ghost? Your soul has been restored. And yet, look at the world. Look at your own personal world. Look at your own life. This is not the end of it. The elder brother has got to be changed. Let me have just a few more minutes, can I? The trees and the animal life. Everything's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When they'll be manifested on the earth. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, is my prayer. Oh, for the great millennium, when they'll be manifested. We're getting that ready now for this time to come. Again, in the Messiah. In Genesis 1:26, when God made man, he made him a god. He gave because. Why? Why was man made a god? He had a dominion. And he had rulership. He had power over the birds of the air. The cattle, over the winds, the waves, the fishes of the sea. Everything. He had dominion over everything. I've got the Holy Ghost in my soul. I've tried this wind thing a few times. And I can tell you right now, I ain't up to it yet. I sat in Illinois a few years ago, and Brother Darrell and Brother Daniel was there hunting. And man, there was like a tornado type of a thing coming. I was up on a tree stand that wasn't about that big, which I hate them things anyway. Climb up there about 25 or 30 feet tall, and you have to stand up here and reach way across from that last step and then step over on this and, you know, just grab around the tree and stand there and bear hug the tree for 20 minutes for your heart to slow down. And I had to get up in that type of a tree stand. I think you've been in the same one, Brother Darrell. And all of a sudden I hear this coming behind me, and I'm able to look through the trees a little bit. Oh my goodness, there is a cloud coming. Oh my, it was rough. So as a son of God, so when that didn't work, I got down. There's something in me that tells me I should be able to do it. But I can't. Jesus could do it. God allowed Brother Branham to do it. Don't sit there and look at me like I'm weird. I want to have me all try the same thing. Jason was telling me the other day about an experience of a brother that was called to a meeting somewhere, and he didn't have the money to go, didn't have the gas to go, and the Lord told him to get a gallon of water. He stopped at a place and got a gallon of water and poured in his tank, and God blessed him. He went all the way to the meeting and come all the way back on that gallon of water. If he can turn water to wine, he can turn water to gas. Anything a sheep can do, my God can do better. Amen. But you know what? That's only sovereignly given. We don't do that ourselves. But there's something in us. There's something in us that desires to control more than just this little thing here. That's why the Bible says the earth is groaning, crying, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for the man to come back into his estate. Let me read this again. Luke 15:31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Isn't a theophany wonderful? It must be. It's a word form body. But yet our theophanies is not the full possession of who we are. When Brother Ram was carried beyond the curtain of time and he saw those people there, do you eat here? No, we don't eat. Do you drink? No, we don't drink. What he said was beyond perfect. It was beyond sublime. No word I know of in the human language that describes it. Well, how could it be any greater than that? How could it be any greater than perfection or even more perfect than that or even greater than sublime? But yet this promise was not given to the theophany. This promise was given to man. A man. A human. Why not just take the bride away and we'll all live in the sixth dimension? The promise wasn't made for the sixth dimension. It holds you temporarily. But the promise is you're going to come back and eat and drink. They told him in the sixth dimension, one day Jesus will judge you. And if you're accepted, and you will be. Glory to God. Then we'll go in on your teaching. I ain't too smart, but I got enough sense to figure this out. If you're going to go in on his teaching, where are you going if you don't have it? You're going out. If your teaching leads you going in, then the other leads you going out the other way. And we'll go back to earth and take up bodies. What? You all are in perfection. You're in beyond sublime. You're in this thing and you want a body? And we're one out of ours. Praise the Lord. Why? In that sixth dimension, it was even more real to them than it is to us here today. This is not all of it. So the seed gene goes into the theophany, but they're still only twofold. They're rejoicing and they're happy and they're not going anywhere. There is no yesterday, no tomorrow. I mean, think of the saints from our place here that's already been in that sixth dimension. And they've been there for years and years and years. And like it hasn't been no time. Paul has been there for almost 2,000 years. Peter and all the rest of them have been there for all these years. And yet they're longing. Brother Abraham said it's like this. You're there in that dimension and you're wanting to come back to the earth and eat some grapes. Grapes? You're in a theophany, you want to go back to the earth and eat grapes? And bend down to a stream of water and get a drink of water? Older brother, there's hope for you. You're included in this redemption. It's hard for us to comprehend. But we would never reach ultimate eternal satisfaction if we would only been left in a theophany. So let me close with this. So therefore, if you have died and entered into the theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you are here, you take the body to meet the theophany. For he says in Shreveport in 1965, remember, there's only one form of eternal life, and that was you. For you don't remember it. Neither do you remember it when you was in your father. For you are only the physical manifestation of an attribute that was in God before the foundation of the world. It's quite a challenge for us as the young converted one. Let me close. Dealing with this older brother. We have to deal with him gently, but with a firm hand. He's strong-willed. He's stubborn. He's hard-headed. I'm talking about you saved folks now. You get his feelings hurt and get aggravated. So there's times you got to be real stern with him. And then there's times that you're going to kind of baby him along and pull out the pacifier in your pocket, because all of us have got a flesh pacifier. Every one of you's got one. And it's your way of relaxing. Well, this is me. This is what I do. Well, you're passy. What? It's things that don't include your wife a lot of times. Don't include your children. You know, it means it's you. It's free. I'm free from everything. So that... Oh, I'm so much better. I love Facebook. I love just getting out and going to TJ Maxx and Ross. It's okay for you to give him a pass, even change his diaper every now and then. But when he goes to leading you from this word, you get a firm hand on it. And set him down if you need to and say, now listen, I don't want to do this. But you're getting unruly. And I want you to know I'm the one in charge of this house. So men, you don't need to have a talk. I'm going to talk and you're going to listen. I know you're older than me. I realize that you were born first, Esau. Older brother. But I'm the one who's been born again. And I'm going to lead you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to guide you. You are not going to lead me into sin. You are not going to lead me into things that's going to destroy my walk with God and my family. I've been kind to you and I've been good to you. Don't y'all ever do this? I mean, y'all look at me like I'm really weird. Don't y'all ever really have a good heart-to-heart talk with yourself and tell yourself who yourself is? Some of y'all need to let yourself know who your real self is. The real ye ain't this. It's the real you, the seed of God. Now, I can tell you what he'll do. He'll cry and he'll snub and carry on. He'll try to play on your emotions. He'll try to pull it. It ain't fair. You got the Holy Ghost tonight. I got the Holy Ghost. I get so amazed at kids. My girls weren't so much better, but I noticed with Erica's four girls, they can just be talking about some other boy. They don't get to. I'm thinking, where did that come from? How did that happen? Just, but it's the flesh. And your siege, innocent. I've got to get firm with you. I don't like to, but now you have demanded that. I'm telling you one thing, you're getting unruly. You're getting stubborn. You're getting hard.
Well, no, don't be too hard on me now. Remember, God is love.
Oh, boy. You scripture quoting outfit.
Be pitiful now. Be merciful.
And then C.G. will say, as I was saying, you're the only body I'll ever have. I'm taking you with me. I know my coming back to the family has caused you a lot of problems. But believe me, it's for the best.
Right, right. That's what they all say. That's what Brother Donnie says when he tears the hide off of me. I literally mean the hide. So you ain't got no hide.
My children, let me tell you something. As a pastor, there is absolutely nothing I could ever give you any greater than would be the understanding of how to live a life in this day that is untouchable by demons. folks in the message revel around this man and that man and one doctrine after another and got hate in their hearts. There's folks that think they're so deep and won't even speak to us. There's folks that have left our church and think they're so deep. They're following this man or that man or that man and won't even hardly shake my hand. And that's closer to God? I don't even want it. I want you to have a life that hell trembles. I ain't talking about just you men. I ain't talking about just you preachers. A woman whose life is surrendered to God can make hell shake more than a man who's out of the will of God. Our sex don't make the devil tremble at us because we're men. I don't care how much you can bench press or how much you can do this, that, and the other. That's not what makes demons tremble. It's our obedience to the Word. Let's stand together. Let me read you this in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In hope. You mean to tell me this all come about without my choice? According to the Bible, it did. The creature was not made subject to vanity, not willingly, by reason. Here's our sovereignty again. By reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. There'll be none lost. None of his sheep will be lost. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Oh, may God help us today. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us today, Lord. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would help each person that's here present and those that are streaming, that the greatest desire of our heart can be to have a life that is so pleasing to you, that the Word of God, the power of God, lives out of our lives, not just in healings and signs and wonders and miracles, but an overcoming life. But many folks can talk the deep mysteries of the message. Oh, deep, deep, deep. That's all they know. That's all they want to talk about. And they have hate in their heart, envy and strife. Can't even speak to somebody that disagrees with them. If they do, all they do is criticize and run down. And they think that's the Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Ghost I read about in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Father, forgive us of our shortcomings. Lord Jesus, help us to be able to bring a workable situation under the harmony of the headship of the Father. The prodigal, as we have called him, has come home. He's been changed, reconciled. But when he come back, it caused a lot of issues with the older brother. And as I've said before already, the story remains the end undefined in the Scripture. You didn't tell us the end. But each of us will write our own ending to this story. Lord, I pray that you would help us. May our ending be favorable. May it end with something like this. And the younger brother kept living the right kind of life. He kept displaying the power of God. Until one morning between 7 and 9, somehow an invisible power from the younger brother exercised such a force on the older brother that he was changed. Glory to God. His wrinkles disappeared. His gray hair turned back to brown or black. Her wrinkles left her face, something a facelift couldn't do. Oh my, her teeth were restored. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. I see what a great battle we're in, Lord. But I'm so glad there's a workable, peaceable solution until the change. It's not like that we have to constantly be in this big fuss and argument and uproar all the time within ourselves. We give the preeminence to the younger son, Israel. We let the younger son, the Prince of God, rule from the soul. Hallelujah. And under the auspices of the father, the older brother is made to submit. He is brought to such submission by the power of the internal life that he will actually get to a place that he quits fighting us so much about going to church or praying or reading our Bible. He's convinced it's a lost cause. We're going to do it. So he just says, go ahead. Here's my hands. Here's my eyes. Here's my ears. Go ahead. Go ahead and go to church. You're going to do it anyhow. What's amazing is he gets there. And the songs go to singing and the music goes to playing. And the next thing you know, you look down at that older brother's foot and it's patting on the floor. Hallelujah. And his hand is kind of patting on the back of the pew. My, if he submits himself real good, you might see him out there in the middle of the floor like Brother Branham was, dancing all around in the Holy Ghost. Because that older brother's learned to submit. Oh, Father, we love you today, Lord. Minister to each of us today, Lord. Would you turn and lay your hand on that person? Stand there by you. Can we offer a word of prayer? Children, there is no telling the amount of needs and the amount of things that were brought in this building today on the hearts of you people. There is no telling the sickness, the disease, the home troubles, all kinds of things that you brought in here burdened down with today. Maybe those of you that are streaming it out there wherever you are, and you feel like you're so burdened that you don't know what to do, we're going to just pray together as saints of God. If you're out there streaming and you need prayer, won't you just lay your hands on your wife or your children or whatever more? God's hand is not shortened that it can't move for you right there. Praise God. You believe he's mindful of you today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this might seem foolish, but yet, Lord, we know and believe. Father, years and years ago when Oral Roberts started out in his ministry, and Lord, I believe that the man had inspiration to pray for people. And Lord, he used those words of the point of contact. Lord, I know of several people that were lame and people that was at death's door and all kinds of things. And they would touch the radio while he prayed. And they believed and you moved for them. It was their faith. It wasn't him. It was their faith. Lord, I pray today the Spirit of God would move among us, Lord. Heavenly Father, every one of us in one way or another are fighting a battle with this older brother of ours. Lord Jesus, I believe there's a peace, a workable situation that we can come to where, Lord, he just learns to submit to it, Father. I pray for the sick today in the building. I pray for those out of streaming on the internet. Lord, those that may be at the point of where they're about ready to give up, Lord God, may they turn, I pray. May they turn from that discouragement today, Lord Jesus. Maybe Heavenly Father, one that's so weary, maybe they started doing things and they're hiding it from their wife or hiding it from the mom and daddy, but you know all about it, Lord. May the Holy Ghost, I pray, come to them today and help them, Father, to stop doing things, Lord. Besetting sins that'll lead them the wrong way. That older brother must be brought in subjection to the Holy Ghost. Father God, we're waiting for the hour. It's already turned heavenward, Lord. Our very submission to the Spirit of God by that inward life proves we are already in the resurrection. Lord Jesus, minister to your saints today, I pray. Father, we pray for Brother Jason and the saints down in South Carolina, Lord. Many of them be affected by the storm that's coming that way. May the Spirit of God move for them, Lord. Watch over your children, Father. Watch over your people, I pray. Oh, Lord God, we believe you today, Lord Jesus. May the Holy Ghost come and minister to the needs of your people today. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Can we raise our hands in the presence of the King now? Oh yeah, you need your older brother's hands. Just borrow his hands or her hands and raise them up there in the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Louis, can we come and sing that song that we were singing last night about the line? Crossing over the line. Oh my, thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you today, Lord God. We magnify your name, Lord. You're our King, our Deliverer. Lord Jesus, you're our peace in the time of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for the quickening power in the last days. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not only quickened our souls, it has quickened our mortal bodies. We were like that little eagle down there in the barnyard, Lord, but when he saw that image in his mama, no doubt it began to quicken his little old wing, and then it quickened that wing, and the next thing you know, his body becomes subject to that word. He flew up on the fence post, he might have tunneled around, but the next stroke, he began to find the aerodynamics of his body. He didn't understand how it all worked, but all he knew was that image that he saw in his mama was impressing such a pull upon him. It called him right out of the barnyard up into heavenly places. Oh, praise God. And he found his realm. One day we'll go past this world. Hallelujah. As the prophet said, he'll pass the moon so fast he'll never even see it when he goes by. And we will finally find our realm. We will find the dimension we were made for. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it together, Brother Louis. Oh, hallelujah.
I'm hallelujah. So glad I crossed over the line.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Yes, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was traveling along the back road, head in the wrong direction. Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, his grace has turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Lord, now we're so glad we crossed over the line. We're so glad we crossed over the line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over. From the light, I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was headed in the wrong direction, my sin dark as night. Satan was standing between my soul and the light, but Jesus gave me a light to shine and save this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Yes, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over that line. That line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
God bless you.
I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. That line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.